all the calories and not worry about feeling overweight right now. But I don't know about you. I had like meal after meal after meal after meal. And whew, I'm ready for a nap. So hopefully I'm going to keep myself awake, hopefully keep you awake, and you know, keep you aware of what's going on in the church. Just to let you know, we got a couple things going on. December 12th, we have an evening service that you don't want to miss. It's going to have some Christmas carols, and it's going to have a kids program. We're going to light some candles, and we're going to be together just singing and praising God that night, all right? And I hope to see you there. December 3rd, I think we have something right, ladies. What is it? Soul Sisters, right? Am I getting that right? Out there at the Welcome Center, sign up for that. It's December 3rd, 6 o'clock. I'm just guessing. There it is, 6:30. All right, good deal. I'm not going to be there, all right? For a reason, I'm not invited. All right. What else do we have going on? It just left my head. It's there. I know it's there. I know I had to announce it. I'm looking. Links. All right. Thanks. Links. See Jeff. See, my name's in the way. Abby Heppy. All right. There we go. It's better. My name's still in the way there, too. Don't see me. This is to help our missionaries, a $5 donation. They have all the information. They'll be out in the lobby. Jeff's the one that's up there clapping and letting me know what I'm missing out on, all right? So see him or Abby, and they'll get you informed of what that is and how we can help our missionaries too, all right? So those are some of the things that are going on. I know I missed something else, but forgive me, all right? We'll figure it out as we go. All right, so Thanksgiving happened. I hope you're all alive. I hope you had a great time. I hope that nobody, got a turkey bone in the eye or anything like that. I hope that you ate a lot, but more importantly, I hope you got to spend a lot of time with your family and have a good time. That's what I hope. This is our first Sunday of Advent, and as you can see, it is hope. Thank you, Jody, for making this. What, did I say it wrong? I did. It's one of those mornings. It is what it is. It's hope. And first off, Advent means the coming, anticipating the coming, all right? And we're living in that right now, the coming of Jesus Christ, right? And we do this in remembrance of his birth, of becoming one of us. And he's the best gift we could have ever received, all right? I want to talk to you really quick about what a gift is, all right? To me, my life, I've been blessed. I love my grandparents. I love them to death. My grandma did all the shopping for Christmas for us. And if you were a male and an adult, you got awesome gifts of shop towels, tools, socks. What else did you get? It was always, every year, the same thing. Every year, once you became an adult in her eyes. And I got mine on the 18th, when I was 18. I remember opening them up, and I was like, finally. I don't know what I'm doing with this, but all right. Because I didn't really have a garage to myself. I didn't have, I had a car that I could work with my shop towels, but I wasn't that guy. But it was more about signifying that moment of becoming a man in my grandma's eyes. Right, and then you just knew every year what you were going to get. Those were staples. You got black socks, you got shop towels, and some random tool set that I still have, and it's just all over the place now. They're a mixed match of everything, but I loved it. I loved it, right? I hope that you have those things in your life that you can remember as a gift that you're like, that will stick out to you for the rest of your life. I do have one gift that I've told many stories about, that I will never forget, and I still don't understand why I got this gift from my grandma. This is pre-adulthood. She must have thought I had really chapped lips one year, and she wrapped up one thing of chapstick and put it under the tree. And I had like three gifts that year. I must have been bad too in her eyes, all right? And I remember opening it and be like, happened to have this like, yeah, chapstick. And that was it. There was no humor by it. It was like, okay, he got it. He needs it. Wonderful, right? So I love my family. We're characters. And I got to spend the family Thanksgiving with Michelle's side, and they do a competition day between the sisters, and it's vicious. It gets kind of ugly. Things are thrown, and Michelle won this year. So, all right? So now we have an ugly plate at our house that signifies that she won this year, and we have to sit up on our mantle. I get to look that she's a winner every day. Ugh. Right? So let's talk about hope and this gift idea of hope. All right? I want to talk about, first off, let's revisit the idea of gift. All right? A gift is something in which I have in my hands and I hand it over to you, and it's no longer mine, it is yours. And you did nothing for it. You didn't deserve it. You didn't earn it. It is yours. Free of charge. It's a gift, right? And you open it up, and whatever is inside that gift, it's yours. It's got your name on it, all right? So that chapstick was mine for that rest of that season kind of deal, right? Jesus, during this season, is the hope. And in this is a gift that he gives us that is hope. All right, let's look at it real quick. We see this in Romans 5, 1 through 8. Since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Now listen to this. Not only so, but we also glorify in our sufferings because we know that the suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. Character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Now, this is huge. You see, at just at the right time when you were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for the righteous person, though a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I want you to understand this is where hope resides in this moment. All right? I think there's two ideas of hope. There is hope that when I get home today, a meal will be cooked for me. There is hope tomorrow that maybe instead of my day cooking, we can go out to dinner. Right? I'm not the only one. Thanks. That kind of hurt a little bit. But all right. Like there's this hope that is like wishful thinking. Like I have a hope that Illinois basketball wins it all. But man, right now that's wishful thinking. Right? The hope in which this resides is one in belief. Where I wake up and I know that I am owned by Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. That is my hope. And in that, I am able to walk a life that is full of hope. Do you understand? It is a belief, not a wishful thinking. And in that, it changes how I live, it changes how I walk, it changes the purpose of why I do what I do on a daily basis, right? Let's look at Romans 8, 24. It says this, "For in this hope we are saved. We were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which you are called. The riches of his glory." Oh, sorry, I went too far. All right, right there. Paul is talking about suffering. All right? And in this moment, what he's saying is, it is easy to lose hope when you suffer. It is easy when things are not going right to lose hope. But he's saying that's no hope at all. What he's saying is hope in Jesus Christ means we don't have to have the proof that life is great. We know it's resolved because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. Do you understand that? Our hope doesn't reside in the circumstances of what we're going through right now. Our hope resides that God is going through those circumstances with us right now. That Jesus loves us so much that he's willing to carry the issues with us, the pains and the hurts and the worries with us, the suffering. Therefore, we hope in not what is seen, but hope what is spiritual within him. Do you understand? It's a different hope. And it's been given to you freely. So what does this look like when we receive it? Right? Ephesians talks about this a little bit. Ephesians 1 through 18. 1, 18 through 19. The riches of his glorious inheritance in this holy people and his incomparable great power for us who believe. The riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people and his incomparable great power for those who believe. This means we are called to do something. We're not just called to sit by. All right? There's some other things in which other verses that talk about this too. We find this in 1 Peter 3:15. But you can follow along if you want, but I don't have it up there. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. 1 Peter 3:15 says this. I implore you to underline that. I implore you to think about this. I wish I had it up on there. This needs to be the hope in which we reside in this year, this season. You understand? We live in a world that we are constantly bombarded with the negative thought processes of what's going on in the world, right? And even as Christians, we can point back into Scripture and go, see, this is it, this is it, this is it, and be very, very negative about how we are and how we see this world. And I implore you to think about how hope doesn't reside in the negative of who you are. It resides in the positive, the joy that God has put there. And no matter what situation you find yourself in, when God resides in your heart and you understand Jesus Christ died on the cross for you, you have hope in every situation. And let me explain. Because Jesus is powerful enough to bring you out of it, to bring you through it, to be with you as you go through whatever issues you have. But church, this is where we come in, where Peter, in 1 Peter, it talks about our hearts and our attitudes need to be one of hope. And when a world talks to us, when people come to us, we need to be prepared to answer why we have this hope. We cannot avoid the people in this world that need God's hope. In fact, we are called to run after them to share the awesome story of Jesus Christ and what he has done in our lives. You see, this gift that has been given to us of hope isn't a gift that's necessarily, in this instance, just ours. It comes with tithes. If we receive this hope, if we take it, there's a message that comes with it. There's a purpose that comes with it. We are to go out into this world and share the same hope that has been given to us, to everybody around us. And we need to be aggressively thinking and worried, and not worried, but aggressively looking for people in our lives that need this hope. There are people that in my life that I have called Debbie Downers. And they have that sound where, wah, wah, every time they talk. Right? They have it. And you probably have been around people like that. You probably have been, I know there's people in my lives that I have been the Debbie Downer to them. Well, did you think about this? Well, you can't do that. It's not going to work. Like, it's easy to find your moment in that, or people that are like that, and what's the easy thing to do? Avoid them. Right? Do you know that you're called to love them and share the hope that Jesus Christ has in your heart and to fill them with the joy that Jesus has stored in your life and to be a blessing to them? To prove to them there's more to this life than the sorrows that they find themselves in. Do you know that? Because that's what you're called to do. We're supposed to represent the Advent season, right? The coming of Jesus Christ. And understanding if he's already came in our lives, we represent that on a daily basis. And that's our hope. And we can't do that alone. Jesus enables us. The more that we're in touch with him, the more that we're part of his scripture, the more that we're praying with him, guess what starts to ooze out of us? Jesus. The more that I accept this gift of hope and I understand what that hope is, guess what squeezes out of me when life squeezes me? Hope. So my question for you a little bit right now, not a little bit, my question for you is this right now. If life has been squeezing you, what has been coming out? Media? News? Negativity? Anger? What I haven't got? My promotion? Like, what has been oozing out of you? And maybe you feel like you're justified. But I'm going to tell you right now, the moment that you accept this gift, the moment that you understand Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, everything else fades away. It does. In Matthew 5, we get a scene where Jesus is talking about a dark world. In a world that there is no light. And he comes into it, and I accept Jesus Christ in my life, and he's talking to him and says, you are a light in the darkness. I don't know if you've ever been out in the at nighttime, pitch dark, black, can't see anything, a room that has no light in it, you shut the door, you open your eyes, you hit your feet on everything, you get mad, you're doing one of these things, right? And if you have a little tiny light in your room, you're able to see enough to get around, right? Imagine if we think about that in the context of the people that we live with on a daily basis, spiritually, they live in a dark room. And you can be the light to them. Do you know how much hope that brings? I'm not a person that knows much about boats or being on the sea, but I do know there's lighthouses for a reason, and they're beacons of hope and knowing that, hey, the land's right there, and guess what I'm not going to run into? They need that, right? So they don't crash. Do you know that you are called to be the light to this world for Jesus Christ? Which is a beacon of hope. As we go through this season, as we're living through Advent, I charge you, church, to be a beacon of hope. And maybe it means you have to step away from avenues of your life that is feeding you that is not healthy. Maybe you need to let go of some things that have resided in your heart that is full of anger, resentment, hurt, just frustration. Maybe you're angry at the world for how the world is messed up. And you know what? It is, and it has been for a long time. It's not just during COVID that it's been messed up. It's honest. News has been around for a long time, and it hasn't changed much. But we don't seek truth in those areas. We seek truth in Jesus. And under our, like, this is the thing. If you've read the book, if you've read the Bible, we already know what happens. God wins, right? So why are we so angry? Why are we so negative? This is my charge during this season. Be a person that shows the light of Christ, of hope, for somebody that you know that needs it. Maybe it means taking a meal just spontaneously and saying, hey, I know you're going through something. I've already made a meal. You don't even get to say no. I'm bringing it, okay? When's a good time? Hey, I came over and I put up your lights for you this year. The neighbor that's angry with you. I don't know. It's figuring out the people that you know that God has called you, because you're right in a situation right now that you are living that God has called you. Do you realize that? Right where you're at, whatever job you're doing, whatever neighborhood you live in, whatever person that you're around, God has put you there for a reason. And one of those reasons is to bring hope of Jesus Christ's love, to be the beacon of light to them, to live out Matthew 5 with them. All right? You are called. You cannot just sit still. 1 Peter 3:15, you cannot sit still. You are asked, be prepared. Be prepared to give a reason for hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Man. Right? If we want to see world change, we also need to believe that Jesus Christ is big enough. My hope is, I know he's big enough because I've looked and seen what he's done in my life. He's changed me. He's moved me. He's done things that I thought that were impossible. He's forgiven me. He's done the same for you. You need to believe it. And if he can do it for you, he can do it for anybody. This is the thing, though. God wants us to be a part of the story. Not to sit on the sidelines. Not to wait for some miraculous moment that your neighbor gets changed and goes, oh, he finally gets it. God has been waiting on us to move and bring his hope to a world that is hopeless. And we shouldn't be getting so wrapped up in things that are nonsense, but more wrapped up in bringing the message of love that Jesus has for them. As we close this morning, I want this to reside in your heart. I want you to write this down or put it somewhere. We must not separate our spiritual lives from our daily lives. We need to be the gift of hope that we have received. Let me say it again, all right? We must not separate our spiritual lives from our daily lives. We need to be the gift of hope that we have received. The moment that I took Jesus Christ in my life, I opened up this box, best gift I've ever been given. I now have hope in my life. I want you to know that changed me forever. It gave me purpose. It gave me understanding of who I am. I am loved by the maker of this world. So much that he sent his son to live amongst us. We celebrate that right now. We understand that right now. We put gifts under the tree to do this in remembrance of him. We don't just do this for our own sake. These gifts that we unwrap as a family during Christmas time is done in remembrance of remembering the one gift that really matters everything, over everything, which is Jesus. And it gives me hope that he can use somebody like me, and he can use somebody like you to change the world that I live in. Right? That's how much he loves you. He wants you to be a part of the story. So again, this is my challenge. Be the gift of hope this season. We cannot separate our spiritual lives from our daily lives. They should be one. And it should be one that's full of hope. We need to be beacons in this dark world. We need to be constant flashlights that are on, showing people they are loved, showing people that they're cared for, that while they were sinners, Jesus Christ died for them. We need to figure out ways to spread the gospel of hope. And I think a lot of us need to maybe open that gift of hope and receive it. Maybe you feel hopeless this season. It's easy to get caught up in a world that's noisy, and they're just constantly attacking you that it's a hopeless situation that we live in. But when we know Jesus, it's so much more than the situation that we live in, because we know where we're going to reside, right? Maybe you need to receive the gift of hope this season. Maybe your heart and your attitude need to be one in line with Jesus Christ and realize he's the giver of all and the lover of all. And we are called to do the same. Bow your heads with me. Lord, we give you praise this morning. We live in Advent right now. We are anticipating your coming. Lord, you sent your son as a baby. To a situation that this couple was poor and young. Lord, you are so amazing that out of this situation, you changed a world. And you have brought us hope today. Hope that we can love, hope that we can be redeemed, hope that we can be know salvation, that we can know a life without guilt or shame. We can also know that we have hope in this world will be redeemed. This world is loved by you, and we can be a part of it. That nothing stands in the way of it. Lord, I pray this morning that we take that gift of hope, that we open it up, that it resides in our heart, that whatever issues are going on, whatever concerns or whatever obstacles stand in the way of hope, that our negative heart can be eradicated by the hope that you have for us and others. Lord, prepare us this season to worship you, to be ready to give an answer of why we have hope, to be ready to share your message. Lord, I pray that we don't live separate lives, a spiritual life and daily life. I pray that they are one together, and that when we step out, we trust you, we believe in you, we hope in you, and we live that out, and people see it, want it, need it, and ask about it. I pray for encounters this next week with people asking us, what has changed in our lives? Why are you so hopeful? I pray for those conversations. Prepare us to be ready to answer. I pray that we're beacons to you. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done. Amen. Before we go, one of the cool things that we're doing as a church now is a fundraiser. If you have an anniversary or a birthday or some sort of like that, we're taking donations. And guess what? I will announce it, right? And the first one is Brandon Palmer. It's his 15th birthday, and he's celebrating up with God today. So if you see the Palmers, if you hear the, like, reach out to them, tell them happy birthday to Brandon. Let them know that he's loved and that he's celebrated, all right? Thank you. Church, stand with me. I charge you to go and be a beacon of God's hope today and tomorrow and the rest of this week. Have a good week.